Today's daf is Tzadihei. So the Mishnah on the top tells us that Misha Haya Nasui Shtei Nashim. A man is married to two women. Umacher Sadeu, and he sells off his land. Rashi says, which land? The land that's Meshuba Luxuba. So the wives, both wives seemingly, have a lien on the property, but he sells it anyways. They're still married, he sells it off. The Kasra Rishona Lilokeach. So the first wife writes to the Lokeach, the one who buys the property. Din v'dvar ein li imcha, I have nothing to do with you at all. I'm removing any relationship with you, meaning any dealings. Sounds like that it's all yours, and if I ever have a claim from that property, I can't come after you. That's what it sounds like from the Mishnah. Then the Hashniya, the second wife, motzia me'alokeach, takes it out from the lokeach. So I guess the situation is where the husband dies, right? Probably a case where the husband dies. And the second wife wants to take the property out of the first wife, out of the lokeach's hand. Then the Rishona min hashniya, and from the first wants to take from the second one now. Because the first one had rights to it first. Because the first wife was married first, or the ksuba was written first, so she has the first lien. So she says, I have nothing to do with you as the lokeach. But then the second one says, okay, fine, so let me step in, I'll collect my ksuba from the lokeach. So she collects it from the lokeach. But now the Rishona goes back to the Shnia and says, wait a second, my lien was before your lien, I should take that land right back from you. So then the Mishnah continues to say, v'lokeach me Rishona, now lokeach takes it back from the Rishona, because Rishona says, I have nothing to do with you anymore. So lokeach says, what are you doing with my land? That's my land. Forget the whys. One of these days you stop asking the whys. I don't know. But this is the case. V'chazaros chalila ad she'es ha'pshara b'nem. This is going to go, it's endless. Circle. The lokeach gets it, and the shnia takes from the lokeach, the rishona from the shnia, the lokeach from the rishona, and so on and so forth, until they finally make a pshara, they make a deal, and everyone's satisfied with whatever agreement they come out with. Then the Mishnah says, v'chein bal chov, v'chein isha bal sechov. Same halacha applies by a bal chov, and so too by an isha, a bal chov. The Rashi tells the Gemara will explain what this means. So the Gemara says, "V'chi kasva le mai havi." So when the Rishona writes to the lokeach, "Din v'dorm ein li imcha," I have nothing to do with you. Asks the Gemara, "Is that really effective?" V'hatani, the Brisa tells us. We saw this Brisa before. Ha'omer lechaveir, somebody says to his friend, "Din v'dorm ein li al sadezu v'ein li esek ba." If I say to, say Adam was here, we picked on everybody else the other day, you weren't here, we did a lot of people picking, but today we're going to pick on you. So he says to Adam, I say to Adam, that I have nothing to do with you today, I'm removing myself from the field, we have nothing to, no ASIC with each other, my hands are taken away from this, says the Gemara, lo amar klum, that's ineffective. So here too, also in the Mishnah, where she says to the Lokeach, I have nothing to do with you anymore, that should be ineffective as well. So the Gemara says, "Hachav ma'askinan b'shekanu miyada." It's not simply where he said or wrote something to her or her to him. It's where there's actually a kinyan. Rashi says, "B'shekanu miyada v'aminan b'hakosev." In the parak hakosev la'ishto, "Deheicha dekanu miyado migufa shakarka kanu miyado." If there's an acquisition, some form of kinyan, then you are able to remove yourself from this. So the wife, the first wife, says to the lokeach, "I have nothing to do with you, and let's make a kinyan in order that this should be binding."
So without kinyan, whatever I say doesn't matter.
Exactly. No, not whatever you say, but this particular language of I'm relinquishing any ownership from it between me and you, that relinquishment, that mechila, that siluk is ineffective.
So what language is effective?
Let's say if I say to you, if I write to you a document that I'm going to buy something. This is talking about a case where a kosev, no? The kasra rishona, it says, the Mishnah says, even writing. I remember the Gemara talking about writing versus saying also. But the actual Mishnah is talking about writing.
No, but it says, the Gemara says, didn't the Rimini said that, lo amar klum.
Right, if I remember correctly, I think the Brayis are there, and the Gemara said, even though it says Ha'omer, I think it's referring to Kosev. I have in the Masifta, Ha'omer, and it adds in O HaKosev, either one. So this language, whether it be in writing or whether it be orally, is not going to be good enough. It won't be effective. It's just not the language that's being used to give a matana. To remove yourself is not matana. To say, I'm going to give you something, that's a positive language that will be effective. So here, even using a negative type of language, removing oneself, it does work if it's accompanied with a kinyan miyada. Then the Gemara says, v'chikana miyada, my havi. So even when you do, even when the lokeach is kona from the rishona, is it still going to be effective? Tema, nachas ruchi asisa lebali. Maybe the wife wasn't really serious about this. She wanted to just satisfy her husband and give him some yeshiva das. that she's okay with it, but she's not really okay. She did not really have intention of being makin over this property to the lokeach. How do we know such a thing? Milo tnan, do we not have a Mishnah? This Mishnah that tells us in Gittin, lokach min ha'ish, v'chazav lokach min ha'isha, mekhal bato. So this case is, Rashi tells us, Rashi doesn't tell us all this though, but talking about the property, which property are we referring to here? Rashi says, mekhal bato, mashma legamri. The sale is null and void. Why? Bafil b'chay habal. Even when the husband's still alive. Ubebav basra mokmina la. What's the case? Be'achas me'osan shalosh shesados o yichta la l'ksuvasa o kasav la b'soch haksuva o shechnisa lo shimbat mishala. Some property that either he designated to her through a ksuba or some other thing where they had somewhat equal, not but different ownerships to it. So the Mishnah Gittin tells us, if first the person wants to buy this property that has this equal partnership of the husband and the wife, so he first buys it from the husband, then he goes ahead and buys it from the wife, it's not a good mekach. But why not? He bought it from both parties involved. So we see from here, why is it no good? Alma yechola hishetomar nachas rucha ruach asisa debaili. I was being nice, I felt bad for my husband, but it wasn't a real, she wasn't really convinced to selling off the property.
She was afraid.
She was afraid. It's a different way of saying nachas ruach asisa debaili. But she was, she didn't really intend on selling it. So just like we say by the Mishnah and Gittin, you buy from the husband, you buy from the wife. The wife could always say, I was afraid of him, I didn't really want to sell it. Here too also, maybe she did this with kana miyada to the person who bought this property from her husband because she wanted to do nachas ruach lebaili. But it's not a good sale, even mikana miyada. So Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rav Chizda lo kasha, ha Rabbi Meir, ha Rabbi Yehuda. It's machlokis satanayim. Who's Rabbi Meir, who's Rabbi Yehuda? The Tani, the Braisa tells us, Kasav Rishon v'lo chasmalo, l'sheni v'chasmalo, ivda ktubasa divrei Rabbi Meir. So what's this case talking about? So Rashi says, Kasav l'rishon shtar mecher al sadachas. So let's say Adam is selling his property to David, and he writes him a document, but never gets it signed off. And then he turns to Harry, look at Rashi for a second. V'lo chasmalo, when he sells it, he writes a document to David, but doesn't have it signed off on, but doesn't have it signed. He just gives him a document, but doesn't mean anything unless it's signed. But then he gives one to Harry, and has it signed. If the ksubasa, Rashi says, im ein sham b'nei chorin, if there's no available properties, share rishon omer hanachti lichimakum legavasimanu, that I left in place to collect from it. So then Rabbi Meir holds, he loses the ksuba. So what's going on here? We're talking about people buying the land, or we're talking about a ksuba here?
Ketav haba shtar mecher al sadeh echad lelokeach rishon velo chatma lo ishto lehodi ashi maskima lemachon ulachar mikin ketav shtar mecher al sadeh acher.
The wife is not being chosemes on it.
Vechatma lo, she signed on the second one.
She did not sign off on it. So the husband sells a property to one person, and the wife is not willing to sign off on it. She doesn't agree to the sale. And then they sell it to a second person, and then she seals it. She's okay with that. So then the halacha is, she loses her ksuba, because she can't say that Because the Rishon say why is he saying this? The Rishon who gets the land but she doesn't sign off on it. The Rishon could say, I bought the property from your husband by leftover other property to be collected from. But now the second one he sold and you signed off on the second one. So you basically took your property that's supposed to go to you and you lost out on it. It's your loss. That's according to Rabbi Meir. We'll see how this fits in a second.
But we said it's not the case before. She didn't have the intention.
So that's the machlokas, right? Meir thinks it does work. You could have said, but Rabbi Meir is not holding of that svara. If she signs off on what her husband does, it's a good sale. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yechola hi shetomar nachas ruchi asisi lebaili. So she says, no, I only signed off on the second one because I wanted to do nachas ruch to my husband, but she didn't really intend on selling it. So this concept of asanu nachas ruch lebaili is a machlokas Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda. Just like we find that by the Braisa there, so too it applies here as well. So I guess our Mishnah, where she sells it off, she says to the person who buys the property, going back to the Mishnah for a second, two wives, and the husband sells the property, and the first one says, I have nothing to do with you, I'm okay with it. Is that a real sale, or is that just her doing nachas ruach to her husband? So that's subject to machlokas. Our mishnah is holding like Rabbi Yehuda that it is a good sale. Okay, now continuing the Gemara. So again, Rabbi Yehuda Omer liyichola hishatomar. She could say nachas ruach asisi lebali. I was just doing this because I like my husband a lot, but I really did not intend on doing this. Atem malachem alai. You who bought the land have nothing to do with me. I never really agreed on this purchase, so I'm going to collect the land. And Rebbe, now connecting it in a full way, Rebbe sasam lahacha kreme. Rebbe, the author of all the Mishnayos, presented the Mishnah here, a stam Mishnah like Rabbi Meir, the Rabbi Meir elsewhere. Now, we were steering Mishnayos, because the Mishnah in, which Mishnah was that? Mishnah in Gittin, by the case of being lakach minaisha and lakach minaisha, where we said it's not a good sale, that stamisha, there's no author there, the stamisha is like Rabbi Meir, who says that asan nachas ruach lebaili. But sasam la hasam, but...
other
round?
Yeah, the one over there is.
So here is Rabbi Meir, but I thought our mishnah holds like Rabbi Huda.
Our mishnah loses it.
Oh, it's a good sale, right. It's a good sale. Our mishnah in Kshubas says it's a good sale, if she says to the lokach, it's all yours, it's a good sale. That's like Rabbi Meir who holds that she's allowed, it's a good sale. We're not holding of the svara of Nachas Ruach. But the Mishnah in Gittin, which says the person buys from the husband and then buys from the wife, it's not a good sale. That's a stam one, like Rabbi Huda, who holds of the svara of Nachas Ruach Asisi Labaili. So there's a stira, how could the Rebbe present Mishnahs, two stam Mishnahs by two different authors. So Amar Rapapa explains, Begrusha V'divri HaKol. So Rashi says, Amar Rapapa, Masnitsin kishaisa grusha v'charkach kasra lalokeachkein. Ah, so the Mishnah says it's not a regular case where they were married and then she agreed to the sale while they're married. She got divorced and she's supposed to collect her ksuba now. And then she writes to this guy, you know what? I don't want to deal with this. It's all yours. I'm not going to collect from you. Then everybody's going to agree that it is a good sale. All the parties. Because there's no asa nachas ruach lebaili anymore. So when she did this, that svara doesn't exist, so it was therefore a good sale, according to all parties. That's what Papa says, explains our Mishnah. But in general, we passing like Rabbi Yehuda, that we hold of the svara of Nachas Ruach Asisi Labali, that she can claim that. It's only in our Mishnah here in Ksubis, where we're making no kimta, according to our Papa, that it's a grusha, and that svara doesn't exist anymore. Vashi Amar Kul Rabbi Meir. Vashi says, we hold like Rabbi Meir across the board, that we don't hold of the svara. We don't hold of asa nachas ruachlas lebaili. Ve'ad kan lo kama Rabbi Meir hasam ela b'shnei lukuchos. He only applied the svara over there when it came to tulukuchos. Damila that they say to her, yisa denachas ruach avdas lekama ibalcha lemeved. So what's going to happen there is really hold Rabbi Meir that there is no svara of nachas ruach.
That sounds like.
He holds of it though, right?
Rabbi Meir holds of Nachas Ruach. It was just an exclusion of Rabbi Meir.
Right.
Not the same.
So Rabbi Meir does hold of such a svara. We're going to explain why we saw before he didn't hold of it, that case, but he holds in general of such a svara. And that by the case of the Tulukuchos, in the case of Tulukuchos, why did he say it is a good, we don't hold of the svara, it's a good sale there, because the first one's going to say, it's not fair. Why do you agree to the second sale but not to the first sale?
I think it's east the nachas ruach of this lekami by lachlan.
Right, you should have done this to the first person. In fact, that you didn't do it to the first sale shows us that you're not. Even though that svara exists, you obviously weren't working with that svara. So don't apply that svara to me, the second guy. That's not fair, or it's not reality. So that's why in that case she showed that she by the fact that she didn't sign off on the first one, showed that she was not working with that svara. But when there's one lokeach, I feel Rabbi Meir mode. Even Rabbi Meir will agree that she could always claim, going back to the Mishnah in Gittin, that if you buy from the husband and then buy from the wife, batal mekach, because we say, nachas ruach asisi lebali. So now you have to explain our Mishnah, it's very confusing. Our Mishnah, why our Mishnah, it is a good sale. Why couldn't she, when she wrote to the first person, you know, din v'dvar mainly imcha, why can't we say that she's asa nachas ruach lebali? So it says that Rav Ashi, umasnisin dekosiv le'acher. Where he wrote it to somebody else. So Rashi explains, but the kasav habal acher kodum azeh, Velo chismelo, she didn't sign off on it. Ulazeh chasma, but to a second one, she did sign off. So it became the very exact case before where Rav Meir says the Shteilu Kuchos case. Rav Meir says in general, Rav Meir holds the svara of Asa Nachas Ruach Lebaili. I hold with such a svara. But it comes to the Tula Kuchos, where she didn't sign off on the first person, and she did sign off on the second person, she's Megalatas that she's not working with that svara. That's the same case of our Mishnah, according to Ravashi. He's making that same Okimta, where he sold it once to one person, she didn't sign off on it, he sold it to a second person, and she did sign off on it, she's being Megalatas, she's not working with the svara of Asa Nachas Ruach Lebaili. Okay. We're good, somewhat, says the Gemara. The Gemara quotes from a Mishnah, Tanan Hasam. The Mishnah that appears in Gidden tells us that Ein Nefran min Nechasim Shubadim Mimakum Sheyesh Nechasim B'nei Chorin Vafilu Hein Ziboris. At this point, it seems somewhat unrelated to what we saw before. A person is not allowed to collect from properties that are Shubadim, that have leaned on them, that were sold to other people, but have a lien, in the area, in the place, in a situation where the person who owes money actually has free property, even if it's a less amount. So let's say Adam owes me money and he sells off one of his houses, and I come to collect from him. I cannot collect the house that he sold if he has available property under his rightful ownership. I have to collect those properties first. And even if that property he has left over is Ziboris, is of the worst of lands, the three levels of land, three quality levels. There's Ziboris, there's Bainus, and there's Edis. Edis is the highest, Bainus is the middle, and Ziboris is the lowest. And the way you value quality is based on the own person's property. His personal property is not based on other properties. So even if he sold his Edis and Bainus, normally was a Baal Chov collect? Which property does a Baal Chov collect normally? Bainus, right. Normally gets Bainus. Mikra, then he should really be collecting, if I remember correctly, Ziboris, the less, the worst of the lands. But the Gemara says, what's the Lashon? We don't want to close the door off. So Bain's going to say, wait a second, if I loan the guy money and I'm going to get the worst of his property, I'm not going to lend any money to him. So to satisfy the banks, and they said, okay, we'll give you the middle level. This way they won't close the doors of lending money. So either way, so Adam sells all his properties left and only has the Ziboris. I have to collect from the Ziboris since it's available before I could go ahead and collect any of the properties that he sold off. So asks the Gemara now, Ibailu. Ishtaduf b'nei chari mahu de litrof mimishabde. So shadif means there's some type of something that got ruined. What was it? Let's say what type of just ruined. Okay, so I wasn't sure if it was maybe arba something came or a flood. So if let's say the property that he has got mamish flooded, ruined, whatever situation came about, then are you allowed to go collect from one of the mishabdim? Now the land he has is b'nei charim, but this is worse than Ziboris. Ziboris is it's a workable land, but it's a low level land. This is not even a workable land. There's just swamps. So do I collect from swamps? Or in that case, I'm allowed to go ahead and collect from the properties that he sold off. So Gemara quotes a Raya Tashma. So this is the reason why we brought the discussion here. Kasav l'rishon lo chismala. If he writes to the, he sells off the property that was already designated to his wife, he sells it to the rishon, v'lo chismala, she doesn't sign off on it. And then l'sheni, he sells another property to a second individual, v'lo chismala, and she does sign off on this. Like we saw before, Rabbi Meir holds, she loses out on her rights to collect the ksuba. Now, if you were to hold that if the bnei chorin, the available properties are ruined, you are allowed to collect from the mishabadim, you can go ahead and collect the land that Adam sold off. So the Gemara, the statement
who's
should be
collecting here? The wife?
The wife, which she needs to collect her ksuba. So these lands were designated for her to be a point of collection. But now they're sold elsewhere, and she agreed to the second sale. So she lost her rights. So she loses out, according to Rabbi Meir. So now the Gemara says, if you were to hold that if Adam's property was ruined, the available property is mamash ruined, and I can therefore go ahead and collect from the property he sold off, so then, back to the case of the ksuva, nihi d'ibd ksuva semisheni. So granted, she loses rights to collect her ksuba from the second property because she agreed to it, she signed off on this, but mirisha mihatikva, she should be able to collect from the earlier person who was sold off already. Why does it make her lose all the rights? So just like the case, if we're going to say that if Adam's property is ruined, I can't collect from this, so then I could go to the shibudim, I could go to an earlier person who he sold off to, here too, so she loses from the second person who she agreed to, but she never agreed to the first sale, so let her go to the first person to collect the land from. So the fact that we don't suggest that, according to Rav Meir, tells us that Even if the property, even the Bnei Chorin are ruined, I have to collect from Bnei Chorin before I could ever collect from the Meshubadim. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, my Ibda. What does it mean, Ibda? Ibda Misheni. It means she lost the rights to collect from the second party, but Ein Hachanami, she could go ahead and collect from the first land that was sold. And here too, also translating back to our case, if Adam's property is ruined, I can go ahead and collect from one of the earlier properties that he already had sold off. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rava. Rava says, Shtei Tshuvas B'davar. I have two questions according to this pshat of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Chada number one is Ibda Lagami Mashma. The word Ibda sounds, if I were to ask you what it meant, you would say, she loses all rights to collect her ksuba, Ibda Ksubasa. It doesn't sound like Ibda Misheni. So that's no kimta, that's not anywhere in the Mishnah. V'od, secondly, Tanya, I have a brisa that tells us, Lava min ha'echad, if a man borrows from one individual, Ummachar nichasiv lishnaim, and then I guess he borrowed money from the bank, and there was a lien, the bank had a property, had a lien on his two of his properties, and then he sells his property to two people. Now, is this talking about two partners? Let's see. The kasav balchov lelokeach sheni. So the bank writes to the lokeach sheni, the second purchaser. Din v'dvar mein liimcha, ein la lokeach rishon, ein lo. Wait, how do you read that? Let's see. Aha. So if the bank writes to the second purchaser, I have nothing to do with you, not only is he nothing to do with the second guy, but also, so not only is a bank not able to collect from the second person because he wrote off that right, the second guy, you're good to go, you're going to be covered, that is megal, that the bank cannot even collect from the first one, because the first one's going to say, that's not fair. When I bought the first property, I made sure that this person, the seller, had other property for the wife to collect from. Now you, as the baal, you sold off the second property? That's not fair to me. So because the bank wants to collect from me, not from the second guy, that's not fair. When I bought it, there's plenty of room to collect it from. I was aware of that. So you cannot collect from me. So we see from all of this, that what's the raya from here? That from the Rashi says, V'od detanya, dimirishon lo tigba. You cannot collect from the first party as well. You cannot collect from the first party as well. So what's this saying here?
Once you write off the zchus to the second party.
They're trying to argue with Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak.
Right, he thought.
So you can still collect from the first guy.
So he see the case here. This Braxa tells us that if you can't collect from the second guy, mainly you can't collect from the first guy as well. Now the difficulty, maybe the Gemara is about to say this, the difficulty is that there's a different svar that's working here though. It's not the same svar. Maybe that's what the Gemara is going to be bothered by. The cases are not comparable. Maybe that's. Let's see. So Gemara says, "Hosam ihud afsin nafshe biyadaim." Over there, he actively lost it on his own. Biyadaim. He was the one who caused the loss. So what does that mean? Over there, which case? Right. The second brisa, you can't bring it right. That's not a good question. Rav himself agrees that you cannot bring a kash from the second brisa, because the malve, the bank in this case, lost out on its own, because when the bank wrote to the second party, I'm not going to collect from you, that's why they can't collect from the first person. But in a regular situation where the karka gets damaged on its own, that's a completely different type of svara. No one actively lost out their rights. So maybe in that case, when the Bnei Chorin gets damaged, Bnei Chorin, it's property that there's no lien on that he owns. He never sold off.
Ah, that's what you call Bnei Chorin.
So when the Bnei Chorin get damaged, no one damaged it. So maybe in that case, I would be allowed to go ahead and collect from the second. Me being I'm the bank in this case, I'm collecting my land. It's not fair to me, so I should be able to collect from the Mishubadim. In the case of the two Lakuchos, where I, as a bank, said I have no right to collect from the second person, I've caused the loss to myself by limiting my ability to collect. So just because I caused a loss to number two, which let me collect from number one, that's not fair to number one. That's why I've pulled myself out. But that's not a riot to a case of where it happened on its own, the property got damaged on its own, then I did nothing wrong. Then I should be able, maybe, perhaps, be able to collect from the first property. But either way, the first question still stands, I guess, that Ibda Ksubasa sounds like Ibda Lagamre. Fine. So then, before we get to a conclusion, the last line of the Amud, Amar le Rav Yemar le Rav Ashi, he says to Rav Ashi, V'ha ma'isim b'chol yom, are in their cases all day long. Rashi tells us the top of Amud Beis, V'ha ma'isim b'chol yom, d'dainin d'anin, every single day, all the time, in the court cases, the courts are passing shilas that if the person's property gets ruined, he's allowed to collect from a property that was sold off earlier. There was once an individual, he had given over a pardes, an orchard, to his friend to as a mashkon, as a, some form of collateral. He owed him money. So he gave the bank this pardes, le'eshashan, for the period of 10 years. Rashi explains, Pardes or Karam, I'm not sure why Rashi is telling us it's a vineyard, but it's a Karam, less a Shanim for 10 years, she yachlenu es a Shanim, that the bank should be able to eat for 10 years, v'tachso lebalim below maos, and at the end, that will be your form of payment, and then afterwards we'll call it even. Dekasala, Rashi said, Dekasala b'mashalim shanya, ilan tipik aradin below kasef. They had some type of agreement. And then the Gemara goes on to say, after this agreement was made, v'kash l'chamei shanim, so v'kash l'chamei shanim means that after 5 years, the vineyard got old and it wasn't producing grapes anymore. So the bank says, wait a second, went to the Dayanim and said that we don't have our full 10 years. We were old another 5 years. The cost of La Tirfa. They wrote them a Tirfa, which was the ability to go ahead and collect a property, to confiscate a property that this Lova had sold off earlier. So we see that you're allowed to, if the Bnei Chorin are ruined, the Karim is it's there, it's Bnei Chorin, it's available, it's unowned. If it gets ruined, you could go ahead and collect from the earlier Mishubadim. So the Gemara says, no, Hasam Nami, there to also inhu da'afsin and afshayu, came into Havayadu de Batesa avid dekash lo ibarle le mizvin. So they themselves, in that case, they lost out on their own. The person who bought it caused a loss to his own, because he was aware that this person, the mocher, had a lien. He owed money to the bank. They were aware of that. And they bought this property anyways. And they know that the nature of a vineyard is not to last very long. And it's likely that they're going to go ahead and collect the mishubadim of that from which they're buying as well. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Iud afsid anafshe, the lokeach lost out on his own. Lokeach shalokach sada miyadzeh shemashkan karim zeh b'achris b'lochel esesharim. If I bought a property from Adam who had a lien and he was going to give the Geffen to the bank, I knew that a Geffen vineyard doesn't last for 10 years. So eventually, the bank's going to come after me who just bought the land from Adam. So he was aware of that. So what's the final halacha? Ishtaduf b'nei chare tarfu mushabde. The case is, if a property gets damaged, b'nei chare gets damaged, whether it be a vineyard or anything else or some type of flood, if it gets damaged, the bank has the right to go ahead and collect from any of the properties that he may have sold off earlier. Says the Gemara now, Amar Abai says, Nichse l'cha v'acharecha l'ploni. My property is for you, and after you, it should be to some other person. The Amda v'nises bal, and she gets up and she gets married. So I guess she's the one who says this, right? A single woman says to a person, I'm going to give you a property as a present, and when you die, you're a bit older now, when you die, then I want you to give it to another party. And then this woman, after making this agreement, she gets married. The Baal is lokeach havi. The Baal is considered the purchaser now. Ve'ein lacharecha b'mokum bal klum. And the others have no rights b'mokum the husband. The husband trumps them. Even though she had given the matana earlier before she getting married, once she gets married, the Baal becomes lokech. Not sure why that is, though. Didn't she give it away? She gave him matana completely.
He gave it to her.
Someone unnamed gave it to her.
Oh, someone gave it to her. Uh-huh. Somebody gave it to her as a matana, and then they said, after you die, you give it to somebody else. Now, before she dies, of course she's alive, she gets married. So in this, the interim, so the husband becomes lokeach. So now that he becomes lokeach, the other guy who's supposed to get it loses rights. The Baal steps in and takes full control of this property. So Kiman, who does this hold like? Ki Haitana holds like the following position in the Braisa, the Tanya. Nichse lecha v'acharecha leploni. So someone says, I'm giving the property to you, and then after you die, I'm going to give it to somebody else. Yared HaRishon HaMachar, if the first one goes ahead and sells it while it's in his possession, while he's alive, it's fully his. Hasheni Motzi Miyad HaLekuchos Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe holds that the second person had this lien on it, property, and could go ahead and collect it from the Lekuchos. Now, I'm not sure whether he could collect it while the first one's still alive or only after the first one dies, then the second one could go ahead and collect it. Okay. That's according to Rebbe. But Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer Ein L'Sheni Ela Masha Shaya Rishon. The second only has whatever the Rishon, if any, left over, any property the Rishon may have left over, only those does the Sheni have rights to. But other than that, the Rishon has full rights to sell it. So we see here, the case above of Abaye is in accordance with Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel, who holds that if a person says to he's giving a matana to a wife, to a woman rather, and says, after you die, then someone else will get it. But here, instead, while she's alive, she gets married, the Baal becomes Lokach, and prevents the second party of ever receiving this property.
Even after the Baal dies, the guy doesn't get it? Or it's after the Baal dies?
Right, good question. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if there are any strings that are still attached to it. I don't know. So then the Gemara asks, "Me Amar Abaye Hachi, does Abaye really say this? V'Amar Abaye, doesn't Abaye hold? Ezer Rasha Arum, what's considered literally a naked Rasha? Zeha Mesi Eitz Limchor B'Nechasim, Kirub and Shimon Gamliel." So, Abaye says someone who advises an individual to sell property like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds. So in such a situation, someone, you know, says, I'm giving a present to Reuven, and after Reuven dies, I'm giving it to Shimon. Then comes along and guy says, Reuven, you know what you could do to prevent Shimon from getting it? You could go sell it to somebody else, and Shimon's going to lose his rights. Somebody who does such a thing says, Abaye, even though it works, you're called an Adam Rasha, a Rasha Arum. So Abaye doesn't hold of Rabban Shimon Gamliel. He doesn't like it. It's that you're a Rasha Arum. So Gemara says, Mi Kamar Tinase, Nisich Kamar. So the above case is not talking about where Abaye says, and she's advised to get married. If she gets married, it works. I mean, Abaye agrees that, according to Rabban Shimon Gamliel, it works, that if she gets married to somebody else, the property is going to go to the husband and not to the person waiting after. It works, but doesn't mean it's a good thing. It's not good advice to give. There's no steerer there. If Amar Abaye is another case, Nichse L'chov Acharechel Ploni, same idea. He says to a woman, this is yours, and after you die, you go give to somebody else. V'umachra. And then, this might be talking about your case, Adam, and then she sells it off before she dies. Umeisa, then she dies. So, Baal Motzi Miyad HaLekuchos. So what's talking, she got married first, I guess? Was she married at first?
It's talking about a case of an Asua.
She was already married, okay. So he gives it to a married woman. Is there Rashi at all?
Yeah.
So is it the Rashi before that? Oh yeah, that one. Right. Exactly. Nechselach. Lekam and Moki. Later on, we're going to see Lahashmaisa beBasraisa beOmer Linesua. So we don't know this yet, but apparently Gemara is going to tell us afterwards. They're talking about where she's a married woman. So she's married and she's given the property. Now while she's married, the husband's the lokeach now. And then she goes ahead and sells the property. So there are other sugyas that she's allowed to sell the property, even though the husband has a certain attachment to it. She's allowed to, but that means after she dies, then the husband has full rights to get it back from the kuchos. So again, umesa habal motzi miyad halakuchos v'acharecha miyad bal. And the one after her, remember that guy, the person who gave the present to her in the first place, says it's first to you and then after to so-and-so. So that's what Adam's question is. After the husband dies, then that second person who is expected, who is waiting for this property, then he gets to step in and not the yorshin of the Baal.
It doesn't sound like the Baal needs to die. It sounds like the Baal grabs it from the Lokuchos in this case, then the Acharecha goes to the Baal, then the Lokeach goes from the Acharecha.
Ah, that's how you're reading it. I see. So again, Amar Bai, Nichsei Lach, V'Acharecha Ploni, Umacher, Umesa Habal Motzi Miyad Lokuchos, V'Acharecha Miyad Baal, Lokeach Miyacharecha. So that whole circular discussion, like in the Mishnah. U'Makminon L'Chula Biyad Lokeach. And they all are milking it in the hands of the Lokeach.
Against our Mishnah.
But the Gemara is going to ask that question. So, but again, so I just want to follow what's going on here for a second. So Rashi says, "V'lokeach miyad acharecha." So the let's go to the one before the acharecha. So the Baal takes it. She dies. She sold it off to somebody else. So we'll call him the lokeach. So she dies. The husband takes it from lokeach. So I bought it first. But then after the Baal takes it, the acharecha says, the one who's expecting it after her, says, "Wait a second, I have rights before ever you, because the guy when he gave matana to your wife had me in mind to get an ex before you even got rights to it." So look at Rashi, v'acharecha, that guy who's waiting for the karka, yachal hotzi mi'habal, could take it out of the hands of the Baal while the Baal is still alive. The chiyamar abaye ein l'acharecha b'makom habal klum, when the acharecha has no rights to the in the place of a husband, shenasin la kishu penuya, that's when she was single at the time, v'nisit, then she gets married, then the marriage uproots the acharecha. Rabbi Omer, listen to Sue, when you're talking about one who's already married, when the guy gives her the present, he says, "This is to you, but not to your husband." And then afterwards, it's going to the other party. And the makne, the one who's giving the matana, has the right to knock the husband out of the picture. But when the husband was never in the picture, there's no one to knock out of the picture yet. So this case is where she's already married, and she said, the guy says, "I'm giving you, the woman, the rights to the land, not to your husband." And then after you, it's going to somebody else. So that reason, acharecha, takes away from the Baal. But then the Rashi says, "Lokeach is miyad acharecha." The guy who bought the land from the wife takes it from the acharecha. Ki Rabbi Shimon damar demichiras harishim bechira, because the first sale is a good sale, so it's going to go the circular way. And makmina lo biyadeh the lokeach, says Rashi, everyone gives it in the hands of the lokeach. Ein bezin is kalkin bepamazos in balotziyam miyad lokeach. Based on not involved in this, if you want to come take it out of the lokeach, shena pamazos domel rishona. It's not like the first time around. The first time the lokeach got it, he got it because the wife had the right to sell it. So then the husband could say, "I bought it first for my wife before you bought it." But it makes a full circle around. So again, what happens is the Baal takes it from the lokeach, the acharecha takes it from the Baal, and the lokeach takes it from the acharecha. Now comes in Lokeach's hand. Lokeach is not getting it from the wife anymore. He's getting it from the Acharecha. And now the Baal cannot step in between the Lokeach and Acharecha. He has no rights to have anything. So once it makes a full circle, Lokeach gets to keep the base and says, "I have nothing to do with this anymore." The Baal can't make any arguments. It's going to stay in the hands of the Lokeach. Now it does require some explanation, because Lokeach still got it from the Isha initially. It's still being, the initial starting point is from, he bought it from the Isha, and even though when circular, it's still based on that relationship. But the Gemara paskins that once it goes that full circle, the husband has no rights to make any arguments anymore. Okay. So now the Gemara asks the question, why is it any different than the Mishnah? In our Mishnah, we had this whole circular discussion. It was endless. But here we say, no, let's give it to the Lokeach. Asks the Gemara, "My Shnami Mehad the Tanan. Why is it different than our Mishnah, which says V'chozaras Chalila Ad Shiasa Pshar Benem?" It keeps going round and round until they finally have an agreement, some type of settlement. So the case of the Mishnah, just to remind us again, is a case where the husband had two wives, and he sold property. And the Rishona said, "I have nothing to do with you anymore." The Rishona took herself out of the picture. So the Shnia, after the husband dies, the Shnia could collect from the second one. First, the Shnia could collect from the Lokeach. But then the Rishona could collect from the second one, because she says, "I had my Ksuba first." But then the Lokeach collects from the Rishona, because the Lokeach says, "You gave me the rights. You said you have nothing to do with me." And the Shnia collects from the Lokeach, and it keeps going round and round. So why does the Mishnah go round and round, but this price, or this discussion of Abaye rather, stops at the Lokeach just one time around? So the Gemara explains, Hasam over there, Islay Pseida Lakula, Hacha Lokeach Hudi Islay Pseida. Over there is a loss to everybody. Here, there's only loss to Lokeach. Why? Because in the case of the Mishnah, every party is going to lose out. Because each of the women are not going to, is Hasam referring to the our Mishnah there? Yeah, our Mishnah. Everyone's going to lose out because everyone's owed money. Lokeach paid for the property. The Rishon and the Shnir owed him the money, the Ksuba. So someone's going to lose out, so that's why you have to have a compromise. Here, nobody loses out. It was given as a matana. So the woman received it as a matana, and the Acharecha received it as a matana, and the Baal received it as a matana. The only one who's losing out is Lokeach, who actually paid money for this property. He bought it. He's the only one losing out, so for that reason we let him keep it in his property. Then the Gemara says, also Rafram, Amr Shmaisa Kami Dervashi. Rafram liked this little sugya, this discussion, and went forward and presented this to Ravashi. So Ravashi says, Mi Amr Abai Hachi, does Abai say this case? Vaha Amr Abai, Abai says, Nichse Lach, Lach Vacharecha, Leploni. So the guy says, I'm giving a matana to you, the woman, and after you, Reuben's going to get it. Omda Venises, she goes ahead and gets married. Baalokechave, Vein Lacharecha Vamakum Baalklum. And we said this above, that when she gets married, the one who buys it, her husband becomes lokeach and can prevent the acharecha from ever getting it. So the Gemara gives the answer, which we know already. So how come before we're saying that the acharecha has no right to, when there's a baal, but the case with the most recent case of baal, we said, no, the acharecha can be towing from the other parties involved. And answers the Gemara, Amrlei hasam, d'amrlei kishin pnuya hachad, amrlei kishin nesu, like we said before. Over there, the initial case was when she was single. When she gets married, the Baal is going to be kone at first. But here, where she's already married, it's as if, I guess the Gemara is about to say that. So the Gemara says, Amr lei hasam damr lei kshi penua, samai kamar. La, what does he say to her? Acharecha? Liknei Baal lo acharecha, liknei Baal lo liknei. The acharecha says to the husband that you were married, that the wife was married at the time. And when the guy gave you the present, he knew you were married and was giving you the present, and then to me, to avoid your husband from ever getting it. So your husband has no rights in this case. As opposed to the case of someone who's single, the husband was not in the picture for the person giving the matana to ever knock him out of the picture. When he comes into the picture and gets married, he's able to prevent the acharecha from ever being kone the prop. That's what Rashi told us earlier. Okay, and then finally, the Gemara says, V'chein balchov. So the Mishnah, after talking about this whole case of the Rishonin and the Shnia and the Lokech going round and round and round, the Mishnah concluded the same halacha applies to Baal Chov and also to Isha Baal Chov. And Rashi said the Gemara is going to explain what that means. So here the Gemara is, V'chein Baal Chov, Tana V'chein Baal Chov, V'shnei Lekuchos, so too a Baal Chov and two purchasers, V'chein Isha Baal Chov, V'shnei Lekuchos, the same halachas will apply. So let's look to Rashi to what this means. Rashi, around 15 lines up, says, V'chein Baal Chov, V'shnei Lekuchos.
Humility, Rashi. Rashi says the Gemara is going to explain it. And the Gemara adds two words. And Rashi ends up explaining it. And he says it's the Gemara that explains it.
Fine. Fair enough. Says the Gemara, V'chein Balcho V'shnei Lekuchos, Reuven, no Shibishimon Mone. Right, so Reuven owes money from Shimon. He's the bank, let's say. He's trying to be Noshe, take money out of Shimon. Veloshte sados. So I guess Shimon has two properties, probably. Make sure we get all the parties right here. Yeah. So Shimon, who's a lova, has two properties. Umachon l'shnayim, and Shimon sells them off. Zuch bechamishim v'zuch bechamishim. He sells each of them for 50. Now the bank's owed 100, so he sells each property at the value of 50. V'kasa bal chov l'lokeach sheni din v'dvarim ein li'imcha. Now the bal chov, the bank, says to the second purchaser, I have nothing to do with you. So Baal Chov notel miyad harishon. So the Baal Chov, the bank, goes ahead and collects from the first party. V'kan ein lomer hainachti malkum shetigba heimanu sherei chovu k'neged shteyan. So now you can't say that I left over any room to collect from the property. The Rishon can't say, oh, wait a second, I bought this land knowing that that Reuven had more money. Reuven didn't have more money. He only had $50 left. He owes me $100. You didn't leave enough money for me to collect from. You're not in the clear here. Lokeach Rishon. Lokeach Rishon moti miyad sheni. So now Lokeach Rishon could go ahead and take out of the sheni. Balchov chozer moti af zumin Rishon. Lokeach sheni mi balchov v'chozer chaliyad shiasu pshar. So this type of case is similar to that in the Mishnah. It's going to go around and around until we finally come to some settlement. The chayin isha ba'alas chov, says Rashi, this case as well. Shayala chov ksuba al baila. She is owed money. She's owed her ksuba from her husband. Umachar shtei sadosav l'shnayim. And the husband sells two properties off. Vein b'shnayim el kadei ksubasa. And the value of both together equals what she's owed. The cost for l'shnei sheni din v'dvarim ein li'imcha. And she writes to the second guy, I have nothing to do with you. Ha'isha motziya mi'ad lokeach harishon. So she goes ahead and collects part of a ksuba from the first guy. Now the first guy goes from the second guy. This also is going to go round and round until they finally come up with some settlement.
In both cases, all three are losing, just like we said before.
All three are losing, exactly. The first case was that, all three are losing, right. Hadron lach mi shaya nasr. Okay, so I guess we'll finish the parak.
Not an easy parak.
No, I'm telling you, the second half of Ksubas is very, very hard.
Yesterday's doc had some fun math. Was it yesterday or 2 days ago?
2 days ago, yeah.